Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar, known for delivering solar excellence since 1984 and recently voted best solar company in Marin County. We're also brought to you by Terzo, an authentic upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our two-part conversation. He joins us from San Diego after covering the All-Star game in Miami. Well, John, you are fresh back from the All-Star break, actually in San Diego, where the Giants will start up the second half. And that was quite an All-Star game. I have to say, that was one of my favorites. I really enjoyed it. I liked baseball a lot better for the All-Star game without the World Series home field at stake, for one thing. And I really thought the pace of the game was great. And I didn't miss replay. You know, no replay. It was just great without it. It was just a lot of fun. What did you think of it?
Well, I heard a lot of complaints. I had no complaints. Yeah, I mean, it was wonderful. I didn't get out much, obviously. You show up, and the Monday All-Star festivities are all day. And the Tuesday, BBWA, the baseball writers every year, have a big luncheon and Q&A with the commissioner. And that takes up the morning, then you go straight to the game. So it's no business to South Beach or anything. But it was, boy, it was hot. Good thing that retractable roof was up. It probably would not have been so enjoyable for fans if it wasn't. I remember a few years ago when the Mets hosted, my goodness, it was so hot for fans. They just went back and hung out under the overhang because it just got so hot and sunny. But it was just real nice atmosphere. They had a real nice pregame ceremony honoring the Latin-born Hall of Famers, including Orlando Cepeda and Juan Marichal. That was a real neat thing. And they about seven or eight of them threw to Latin-born current All-Stars who caught their first pitches. And it was a real neat ceremony before the game. And the game itself, hey, 2-1 extra innings, I don't mind that at all. It doesn't have to be 10-9. It doesn't have to be Coors Field. It doesn't have to be 4 hours. It was a pure baseball game. A lot of people were complaining, oh, it's boring, it's slow. I said, come on, it's All-Stars. Every single at-bat meant something because it was one of the best in the league facing one of the best in the other league. And mano a mano, it was gripping stuff. Pat Neshek pitched the second inning. Okay, what's he doing in there in the second inning, really? I mean, we used to see Gibson go three and Marichal go three and Koufax go three. But now, you know, they have so many relief pitchers, they have to get them in there at some point. But after the first or second inning, the managers just went crazy with the pitching changes, which is nothing new in All-Star play. And the fact that it didn't mean anything anymore, well, that's another subject, right? I mean, that's something that was a little different, but I don't think it was at all.
Well, it seems like the players are fine with that. I mean, it's an exhibition, which even when it was supposed to mean something, it still was an exhibition. You weren't going to play your starters the entire game. But now it seemed to calm everything down where, okay, we know it's an exhibition. We can have more fun. You know, we got a photograph being taken of an umpire, a selfie. We got Nelson Cruz, you know, having Yadier Molina take that photo, which, you know, you can't have too much of that. Then it gets to be really silly. But that was kind of funny. I mean, and, you know, kind of added a little bit to say, hey, you know what? This is an exhibition. We can do whatever we want with it. You know, what'd you think of that?
Well, first of all, I think the 13 or 14 years they had that rule in effect in which the winning league would get home field advantage for the World Series was just silly. It was awful. It was shameful. It was an embarrassment. One had nothing to do with the other. And for Joe Maddon to say after Tuesday's game that that shenanigans with the camera wouldn't have happened if the game meant something, I don't know about that. I mean, well, it was just a few years ago, 2014, I think, when Adam Wainwright grooved a pitch to Derek Jeter, called it a pipe shot. Remember, admitted right. He grooved a pitch to Jeter. Home run, you know, MVP of the game. I grooved the pitch. Well, if it really meant something, as Buster Posey told me the other day, if it truly meant something all that year, those years, you would have had Scherzer going 8 or 9 or Kershaw going 8 or 9. It didn't mean as much to the players that I think the rule intended it to be. I mean, it was still playful. It was still an exhibition. If you're the Minnesota Twins or the Philadelphia Phillies and you're pinch hitting in the eighth inning, you're not going to be a player. You couldn't care less who has a home field advantage for the postseason. Even Buster Posey says, yeah, I might have helped this once or twice in terms of, you know, home field. But listen, they won game 7 on the road in Kansas City. It didn't matter. And he said he didn't like that rule at all. And I you don't find many players who like that rule where all-star, outcome determined the schedule in the World Series. It was just kind of nonsense. So good riddance. That's all gone. But I don't think it changed much Tuesday than previous years. I think it still was an exhibition then. It's still an exhibition now. So you can say all you want. Well, and you're right, though. You talk about this camera. Nelson Cruz comes out and gives Yadier Molina a camera and says, you know, take my picture here with Joe West, who just recently umpired his 5,000th career game. Big deal, right? So Joe West is a big name, nice to honor an umpire. But you wonder, how are we going to top that next year? And then right. The year after, is this going to be like goofy dunk contests where you just got to outdo last year's, exhibition? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But Buster Posey had something interesting to say about it. You want to hear what Buster Posey said?
Well, I know you asked him something about, the obligation of taking that photo, right?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, this is Molina's first defensive inning. Posey caught the previous inning. And I said, Buster, well, what if Nelson Cruz batted the previous inning and came up to you and said, hey, can you take my picture? And he says, I said, what would you have done? Here's, kind of straight-laced Buster Posey, right? And he says, well, I would have had to take the picture. What am I going to do, say no? But on the other hand, he said, it's that there's some integrity there. There's a line that you don't want to cross. You've got to maintain the seriousness of the moment of the game. So he is kind of old school. Obviously, and when he and Bumgarner are a battery, that's the epitome of old school. But in this case, he doesn't want to take this stuff too far and get away from the game itself, which is still the game of baseball. And you can have fun, but as Posey said, you don't want to take away from the seriousness of it and mess with the integrity.
Yeah, I understand that. And can you imagine if Bumgarner was the pitcher when that happened and Posey was the catcher? Because remember the stare down that Bumgarner had with Joe West? Not exactly his favorite umpire. So can you imagine if this situation happened then?
No, I can't. even in an all-star game, I think Bumgarner has his game face, and he doesn't want to mess around. But sometimes these guys are forced to. It's the spirit of the moment. But that would have been interesting to see Bumgarner.
Yeah,
what his approach would have been.
It would have been awkward.
I mean, the next pitch might have nailed Cruz, but Cruz almost hit a home run. I mean, he hit a ball way out there in the outfield.
Yeah,
that was caught. So that would have been something if remember this was right, and this was right around the time Molina hit that home run. So, some people have an easy way of separating the two.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Jones goes back near the wall, shading the sun, and he dropped it. He lost the ball in the sun. Let's put the sun to good use at home. With a SunPower residential solar system, your SunPower elite dealer, SunFirst Solar, has a wide range of financing options, and they provide the finest customer service from start to finish, regardless of size or scope. SunFirst Solar offers the highest efficiency systems, newest technology, and the best warranty in the world. SunFirst Solar offers the most competitive price while not compromising on quality. This summer, let the sun heat your pool and eliminate your energy bill. Don't drop the ball. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. And get your Sun Power solar system today. Speaking of home runs, how about the home run derby? And, you know, they're always fun, but this one really was about Aaron Judge. And I think it might have been even more fun if Giancarlo Stanton had made it to the final, because to see those two guys go at it, maybe that's more fun. But just, you know, the distances that Judge was hitting, and especially everybody couldn't stop talking about how he hits them the right field when it looks like he didn't even hit it well, or, you know, 100%, didn't hit the sweet spot, and he's still hitting it 440 feet or whatever. So, you know, how much do you think people enjoyed it? Does this mean that, you know, we pretty much have to see Judge every year in the home run derby?
Well, we said that about Stanton last year. Boy, he's got to be in the finals every year. Last year was just tremendous. And, you know, whoever the winner is, he has an awesome night, right? I mean, he to win these things, you got to hit a lot, and you got to hit a lot early. Because by the final rounds, if you notice, instead of winning 23-22, you're winning 11-10 because you're tired and your muscles are broken down a little bit, and you just can't keep doing that. No human can. Round after round after round.
Right.
So some of the best exhibitions are early in the Derby, and that's what we saw at a Judge. He made this great comeback in the first round, and then won the second round. And they were all close rounds for him. But he was the talk of Miami. He was really it in terms of, you know, this kid from Linden, California, 25-year-old, just came up. 30 home runs, leads the majors, 6'7", 6'8", 280-plus pounds. He's a lineman in a baseball uniform, and he hits the ball a long way, and he's a great athlete. He can run after the ball, and he can defend, he can throw. And, you know, somebody actually asked Joey Votto, he says, hey, can he get Bonds' record, you know, 73? Come on. I mean, the kid just showed up in the major leagues, and you're talking about Bonds. And Joey Votto said, I bet the under, but I bet the under on anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, he said, are you kidding me? One home run every 2 days? You just can't do that. But it was a fun story. And interviewing that guy, I felt like I was in an NBA locker room. The guy is just massive. He makes Stanton look tiny.
I love the Yankees fans, too, wearing the Judge outfits and, you know, the All Rise and all that stuff. I mean, it's fun. You know, kind of reminds me of the milkmen, I guess you could call them, when Melky Cabrera was in San Francisco, and that got ruined when, you know, he was erased from the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we're talking, it's funny how things develop overnight, because so many people wrote, hey, Aaron Judge, face of baseball.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, what, 3 months into his rookie season, a little bit unfair, and asking Buster Posey who the face of baseball is, he didn't think twice. He said Mike Trout. And think about it. You know, Aaron Judge is 25. He's a rookie. Mike Trout is 25. He's a six-time All-Star.
Already,
think
yeah.
Think about that. Who's the face of baseball? Aaron Judge? Stop. Actually, I think Yonder Alonso had the best answer when I asked him who the face of baseball was. He said nobody. It's unfair to pick one guy. You shouldn't have one guy. And, you know, to his point, it's all about diversity, you know, flavor, styles. There can't be one in baseball. There should be a bunch. And, you know, he's right.
I agree,
look around.
Yeah.
I mean, just to name a few, you know, Lindor, you know, Machado, Trout, Mookie Betts, you know, great ball player. Billy Hamilton brings the speed in the game like we just don't see anywhere else. Stanton, of course, Altuve, you know, who comes up to Stanton's and Judge's kneecap. Bryce Harper, you know,
yeah,
with all that hair flowing. So don't tell me there's a face of baseball. I think there's got to be many, and I think Yonder Alonso hit it right when he said that.
And it was a special All-Star game for him, as you documented, being that, you know, he grew up in Miami, went to the University of Miami, and to go back and have a couple hits and a stolen base. I mean, that was pretty cool for him.
Yeah, that was a great story to follow. I did a big story for the Chronicle on his father and Juan Dorado, the A's interpreter, you know, helped me with the story, and I spoke to him. He was in Miami. I was in Oakland last week. Had a wonderful conversation with the father and Yonder. They're so close. And the story goes, when Yonder was seven, they all boarded a real tiny propeller plane in Havana and flew in the middle of the night to Cuba. And as Yonder calls it, from poverty to poverty, because they, you know, the father, Luis Alonso, was looked at pretty respectfully. He was a ball player and he was a coach and, you know, better than most there, but he left it all to clean offices in Miami. And Yonder and his little sister did the same all the way through high school and also into college. He went to the University of Miami, and then he finally got drafted by the Reds in the first rounder after his junior year, and then bought his dad and mom a house. It's a wonderful story. So the mom and dad were there. Manny Machado is his brother-in-law. Yonder's younger sister marries Manny. And he was at the game with a he was at the game with an Alonso jersey. So Yonder bought 62 tickets, and those tickets aren't cheap. He bought 62 tickets for friends and family because he said so many people were responsible for having him. Then he gets two hits. He makes a great scoop at first base, and he steals a bag.
Yeah,
he stole one base in the first half. Are you kidding me? So he would have been the MVP if he scored in the ninth inning. He was on third base. He was in running. He was in scoring position with nobody out. But then Jansen struck out the side, and they went into extras. But it would have been a nice story, because if he scored that run and he's got two hits and a steal, I think there's your MVP.
More with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in just a moment. Remember that old Abbott and Costello baseball routine? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third? Well, actually, when talking about third, I do know that terzo means third in Italian, as in a third place to gather and share food and wine. That would be for your third meal of the day. Ah, yes, dinner. And it should be your first choice when you're looking for an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant. Located in the heart of Cal Hollow, Terzo is a beautiful combination of modern and cozy. Terzo's food is inspired by the coastal regions around the Mediterranean Sea, sourced from their bountiful local farms and ranches. The eclectic and diverse wine list is attractively priced, draws from regions all over the world, and is designed to pair perfectly with the cuisine. Terzo, 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco. And by the way, I do know Christian Arroyo at third base. One aspect of the Fox telecast that I know you didn't like was Alex Rodriguez interviewing infielders in between innings. You know, that didn't do anything for me, and even the interview before the guy's about to hit. But I have to say, I'll disagree with Bruce Jenkins, your colleague, who really didn't like the in-game interviews. I'll disagree there. I like the in-game interviews they had with Bryce Harper and George Springer, especially Joe Buck, who, by the way, I thought did a really good job on the telecast. I love when he had George Springer, when they had him, and Springer is in the outfield talking, and Giancarlo Stanton comes up, and he said, "You better move back," because Stanton's coming up. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I know, again, that gets back to the Posey statement about the integrity of the game. You're talking in the outfield during an All-Star game on live television. It can get a little dicey, but it's something that we really haven't seen, and I just thought it was cool. I mean, it seemed like they handled it well, with the timing of it worked out pretty well. What did you think overall of that? I know you didn't like the A-Rod part.
Yeah, that just seems silly. I mean, when you're there and you're looking at him, here's a grown man in a suit with a microphone walking right around the infield, talking to the first baseman and the second baseman. And it's just, you know, in-game interviews, when somebody asks questions, has there ever been a good one? You know, has there anything ever been revealed that you didn't know about anything?
No, especially those manager interviews.
You know, yeah, where he doesn't want to talk. You know, he's not going to say anything. But yeah, you're right about Harper. What was he talking about, the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, he's
right
talking about Dak Prescott. Yeah,
yeah. I said, come on. and you know, some guys wouldn't agree to that. I don't think Buster would give an in-game interview, but I think it might be a little hard if you're a catcher anyway.
That would be pretty tough. That would be really hard. Yeah, or if you had maybe a hitter. I mean, yeah, all these things are pretty. It's hard to concentrate on your job if you're going to talk. But I just thought it was a nice little element. But yeah, you can't take it too far. Now let's get to the Rob Manfred conversation with reporters, because, you know, he's still harping on rule changes that will speed up the game. I guess I can understand it. And, you know, maybe I think when you're talking about relief pitchers coming in left and right, that does slow down the game, or the visits to the mound. He wants to do something with that maybe. But, yeah, I don't know that you really changed the game all that much, John. I mean, the replays would slow it down a little bit. And, you know, I think they need to eliminate that. But what do you think? Do you think that he, you know, baseball will unilaterally put in place some rules that maybe the players don't even want to try to speed up the game?
Now, you said you want them to eliminate that. You're talking about replay.
Replay.
Eliminate them in entirely, or eliminate them?
I would like to eliminate it almost entirely. Maybe you have one challenge a game. I just, it's too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, maybe let's cut this New York nonsense out. Let's have the fourth umpire up in the booth upstairs and give him a half a minute.
That makes sense, yeah.
And because it goes back to New York and the stupidity of umpires running off the field, the stupidity of them putting headphones on, the stupidity of a camera on them, you know, looking up at the replays and the calls that they just made. And it's kind of, I think more and more you get these calls from New York. Hey, these umpires all know each other. They have picnics in the off season. Their wives get together. I mean, do you really want to overrule your buddy back in Pittsburgh when you're in New York, knowing that, hey, you can get a phone call later saying, come on, man, I was right. Why you just, you know, no, get a third party guy up there, a guy who doesn't know these umpires, maybe a former AAA umpire who knows the rules, who knows what to do. Put them in every park and let them decide, so it's not a fellow umpire who makes the call. Because look at that Brandon Belt call on a couple of road trips.
Oh, that was just awful.
He slides into second, and he's called out because he thought for a moment he was off the bag. Well, there's so much dirt and dust with the slide that you couldn't overturn it, because you couldn't speculate, in the shadow of a doubt, that he was right or wrong. So unless you know for sure that the call was blown, then you're not going to overturn it. So look what happened. He's out. And it was kind of embarrassing. It was a double, and he was thrown out. And, you know, according to the challenge. So it's, you know, that stuff we got to get rid of. I mean, sliding past the bag, which he really didn't. They maintain that, you know, a leg lifted above the bag. And I just think they really got to look at that a little bit more closely. You know, infielders now are taught to keep the glove on the leg if the man slides by. And I just think they have to look at that here in the off season. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of rule changes that Manfred is considering. The only thing we've seen so far is the intentional walk rule. You don't have to throw the four wide ones anywhere. Just point the guy to first base. Okay. We're living with that, but that's not taking really any time away from the average game, which is 3 hours and 5 minutes now, you know, and that's pretty high. I mean, all the work they've done to shorten games, and they're still long. And that has a lot to do with all the strikeouts, the long at-bats, a lot of home runs. I mean, that's all time-consuming stuff. But, hey, you know what? The 20-second clock is coming. That's what I think for the pitchers.
Well, the 20-second clock, you know, that might help, John, but I don't know. The one that really bothers me is the strike zone changing, because if you're going to move the strike zone up a little bit, then you're going to have more walks, and then it's going to be a longer game anyway. I mean, I guess to me the main thing to try to change would be the number of relief pitchers in an inning, or how many batters do you face? Maybe you have to face three batters or end the inning. You know, maybe you come in and you could face one batter and the inning's over, but, you know, have a sort of a minimum number of batters you got to face, because the pitching changes take a lot of time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the strike zone and the pitching changes. Now you're really messing with the manager's ability to run a game. But I've always disagreed with clocks, but I've seen so many times this year. Yeah, and you know, I mean, don't they use the 20-second clock in the minor league? And
yeah,
aren't these young players coming up thinking, well, that's the way it's okay to be that way. It's okay. You know, some of them get warnings, some of them get fines or whatever happens down there, the repercussions. But I just think that is the key that is going to turn this and help the pace of games. Who knows what the time of games, but the pace of games, when you're going 30, 40 seconds per pitch, I just don't think you need that long to walk around the mound, to step out of the box, to adjust this, to adjust that. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that's what everyone is going to agree on to become the answer, and everything else will fall into place. And whether people agree with that or not, I think you might see that as early as next season, because Rob Manfred is a big proponent, and it's already seems to be working in the minor leagues.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us for part two of the conversation with John on Friday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.